Parshas Pinchas. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Pinchas ben Elozo ben Aaron Akoyen Heshiv Est Chamosi Me'al B'nei Yisroel. From the Baruch Hu says that it was Pinchas who turned back my wrath against Klal Yisroel, B'kanoi Es Kinosi B'seicham. When he was Mekanei Kinosi, he sought my vengeance. As we know the story at the end of last week's parasha, the end of parasha's Bolok, when he took the law into his own hands, as it were, and he killed Zimri, he killed Cosby, and that brought an end to the plague that was ravaging across Klal Yisrael. 24,000 people had passed away, and as a result of Pinchas, as a result of his actions, it stopped. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because of that, he is going to be praised and he's going to be given schar, briskly showing. And his act in this pasuk is described as bekanoi es kinosi. Kanoi. Kanoi, he avenged, he was zealous. Pinchas was a kanoi. Pinchas was a kanoi. The Gemara, as we all know, famously tells us, that Pinchas approached Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, didn't you tell us that there's a halacha called Aboyel Aromis Kanoim Poigim Boy? Somebody has relations with a non-Jew, Jewess, Kanoim Poigim Boy. So we see there, but also that his act was considered an act of Kanos. And Rashi says, what does that mean, Kanoim? Zealous, zealous people. So Rashi says, people who are kasherim, they're kosher, they're righteous, and they are miskanim kinosei shel mokrim. They are seeking the vengeance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam also describes these people as meshubochim v'zrizim. They act with alacrity, and they're considered praiseworthy. So it's quite clear from the Psukim, from the Gemara, Chazal, that Pinchas was clearly praiseworthy for what he did, but it can all be summed up in one word, and that is Kanos. Kanos. Now, this wasn't the only time that Pinchas was a Kanoi. When else was Pinchas a Kanoi? So if we turn the clock forward many hundreds of years, we look at Sefer Melachim. Melachim Aleph, Parak Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud. It says, Vayomer Eliyahu Hanavi. Now who was Eliyahu Hanavi? It was Pinchas. We're talking about the same person. Kanoi Kinesi Lashem. Kanoi Kinesi. I acted once again with Kanos. What was the story there? He went out and he killed all the false prophets, the Nevi'im of the Baal. He killed them all. And he described it himself as Kanoi Kanesi. Now, as you just mentioned, Pinchas is in fact Elio. Elio is Pinchas. How do we know? So we know it from many places. The one place we know it, because the Gemara tells us at the end of Bava Metzia, that Rabba found Eliyahu in the Beis HaKoros. He found him in the graveyard. Now it happened to be that it was a non-Jewish graveyard, but it was a graveyard nonetheless. And he says to him, Rabba says to Eliyahu Hanavi, aren't you a Kohen? What are you doing here in the Beis HaKoros? Farshim explained, indeed he was a Kohen, because he in fact is Pinchas ben Elozo ben Aaron HaKohen. So you see once again that Pinchas acted with kanos, not only in our parasha, the end of last, but also later on, much later on at the time of Eliyahu Hanavi, with Pinchas in the times of Achav. And in fact, if you look closely at our pasuk, when it says, Bekanoi es kinosi, would you agree? That sounds slightly rather double notion. And Rabbeinu Bachai, in fact, quotes a medrash and says, Bekanoi kinosi. Bekanoi es kinosi, says Rabbeinu Bachai, is a double act of zealousness. Why is it a double act? Once, in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, now, and one, in the time of Achav HaMelech. There also, in Malachim it says, Kamei Kinesi, again, a double lashon. So we see quite clearly, Pinchas, which is Eliyahu, was a Kanoi twice. And in both times, a double lashon is used. So, Be'ezas Hashem Yisbarach, we would like to spend a few minutes discussing this sometimes misunderstood middle of Kanos. You know, it's interesting. Who in Klal Yisrael are called the Kanoim? I think it's well known, there's many factions, but the Satmar Hasidim. The Satmar Hasidim are considered big Kanoim, and they take pride in being Kanoim. So the Satmar Rebbe once said, you can imagine with a smile on his face, he says, do you know, when did this story actually take place? At the end of Pasha's Holocaust. So why is the story split into two, and part two is moved over to Pasha's Pinchas? Why isn't the whole story not dealt with at the end of Pasha's Balak? So the Satmar Rebbe answered, probably with a smile, he said, because children in Cheder, when they learn Chumash, they don't always reach the end of the Pasha. So it's very important that children also learn about the Inyan of Kanos. So this way, when the beginning of Pasha's Pinchas deals with the Inyan of Kanos, even the young kids will also learn with Kanos. Interestingly, I once heard, probably also with a smile on his face, I heard in the name of the Michas Yitzchok, he said, do you know why the second part of the story, when Pinchas gets Tchar, is pushed over to our Pasha? Because if you want to know whether Kanoi really deserves to be rewarded, you need at least a week's break to think about whether he did it with Shem Shemayim. That's why it's pushed from Pasha's Balak to Pasha's Pinchas. But either way, we would like to discuss the Inyan of Kanos. Now, we've actually discussed some of this in the past. And very briefly, what we've discussed in the past is the bizarre halacha that if you look in the Gemara that deals with Kanos, it says, yes, Kanoim Poigim Boy, but it's a halacha Ve'ein Moirin Kein. What does that mean, Ve'ein Moirin Kein? You don't actually paskin this halacha. If ever you come to the Beis Din and you ask, should I act as a Kanoi, they will never give you the mandate to do so. It's not because it's too late. Well, it could be. It's for a different reason. Why would that be? Halacha Ve'ein Moirin Kein. So we've discussed in the past, as we just mentioned, because the true Kanoi has to be acting 100% L'shem Shamayim. Where else do you find you're allowed to take the law into your own hands? Normally somebody has to be killed, taken to Beis Din, Eidim, Hasra, court case, Dayanim, Psak, Gemar Adin. Here you're going to take the law into your own hands. The Tanai, Kaidim Lamaisa, is that it has to be that it's Mechavan L'shem Shamayim 100%. Now, the only person who knows whether it's Mechavan L'shem Shamayim is him himself, besides the Rabbeinu Shalom. So therefore it's a halacha Ve'ein Moirin Kein. We can't pass him that. I can't tell you that you're acting L'shem Shamayim, so I can never actually give you the go-ahead to do so, because I don't know your motives. In fact, Reb Chaim Brisker said so wonderfully, he said, you know what a real Kanoi is? He said, if somebody ever finds a mouse in their house, Lo'elino, so it'll be chased out. Either it can be run after. Who will run after the mouse? Either the housewife or a cat. Says Reb Chaim Brisker, the difference is, the wife just wants the mouse out, but the cat enjoys the chase. Says Reb Chaim Brisker, a Kanoi cannot be like a cat, it's got to be like a housewife. There's nothing in it for me, I just want this mouse out of the way. So it's got to be that the Kanoi's intentions are absolutely pure, and is Mechavan Hashem Shammai, and nobody can tell that besides for the person himself. So it's Halacha Ve'ein Moirin Kein, as Rashi. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not tell him to do it.
He
says, you can go ahead and do it. I can't pass them that you must do it. I can't give you the go ahead. And that's why the Torah writes, Bekanoi es kinosi. What does kinosi mean? My vengeance. Pinchas was indeed mechaveh l'shem shamayim. As he himself said, also, in Eliyahu HaNavi's times, Kanoi Kinesi Lashem. So this is what we've discussed in the past, and of course the obvious addition to this is, now we understand, remember the first Rashi in the parasha? What did all of Klal Yisrael come along and say? Oh, you're the grandson of Yisrael. What does the Torah say? You're the grandson of Aaron. We don't really understand the argument because they're both true. What's the discussion over here? Well, he's not the grandson of Yisrael? And the answer is no. The discussion is, were your intentions pure? Klal Yisrael claimed that you are the enekel of Yisrael, who was originally a goy. So maybe your intentions were impure. You had murder in mind. Says the Torah, no, the exact opposite. He is the grandson of Aaron HaKohen. What's Aaron HaKohen's middle? He's the Oyesh Sholin, the Regesh Sholin. He doesn't go for murder. His intentions were pure. So this is what we've discussed in the past, but this is the aside of Kanos. Kanos has to be undertaken in a way that it's L'shem Shemayim. And if it's not L'shem Shemayim, then indeed it's nothing short than murder. That's what we've discussed in the past. I don't want to dwell on that particular aspect. I'd like to home in on the actual nature of Kanos. What we've mentioned until this point is the prerequisite for Kanos. The intention of the Kanoim has to be L'shem Shemayim. But I want to talk for a minute or two about what Kanos actually is. Because as I mentioned before, sometimes Kanos is misunderstood, misinterpreted. Pinchas, ben Elozar, ben Aaron HaKohen, of course comes from which tribe? He is from the Shevet of Levi. Aaron HaKohen is from the Shevet Levi. Levi are the Kanoim of Klal Yisrael. We all remember Pashas Kisisa, after the hate of the Eagle. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chof Zayin? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Sinu Ish Harboi, please gird your swords, and we're going to go out and kill anybody who was involved in the Eagle. And who steps up? Shevet Levi. Vayatsu B'nei Levi Kidbar Moshe. And it says they killed right, left, and center, even if it meant family members. No mercy. They are the Kanoim. They are the Kanoim. And in fact, the Gemara tells us that when Pinchas ben Elozar was engaged in his act of Kanos, the Malachim wanted to stop him. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, leave him alone because he is the Kanoi ben Kanoi. It's in his blood. It's in his DNA. What does that mean? He's a Kanoi ben Kanoi. Says Rashi. Which Kanos is this referring to? Even further back. Not just Shevet Levi, but in fact, Levi himself. When was Levi the Kanoi?
Shechem.
Shechem and Dinah. He stood up. He said, I can't possibly tolerate Zanus. And he went out and killed all of Shechem. So Pinchas, who is the descendant of Levi, is in fact the Kanoi ben Kanoi. Says the Marashal, one moment, who was Levi's partner at the time there?
Shimon.
And Zimri was a descendant of Shimon. So he's not a Kanoi ben Kanoi, he's just a ben Kanoi. In other words, he did not go in the way of his forefathers. His forefathers, Shimon, fought against Zimri, but Zimri was involved in Zimri. But Pinchas was a true Enekel because he really did go in the way of his forefathers. Just as the original Levi was a Kanoi against Zimri, so too, his Enekel, Pinchas, was the same. So we begin to see that this Middah of Kanos was not just limited to Pinchas himself, but rather it is something which is evident in the entire Shevet Levi, they were the ones who killed Klal Yisrael after the Eagle, and in the founding father of Shevet Levi, meaning Levi himself, he was the Kanoi at the time of Dinah. So we see that this Middah is a Middah that runs through all of Shevet Levi. All of Shevet Levi, from Levi to Shevet Levi to Pinchas.
Now,
in order to understand this, what is it that ladies' middle? Ladies' middle is the middle of kanos. There is a word in Lashon HaKodesh which has the exact same letters as kanos, and that is kinah. Jealousy. And what's remarkable is that in English it's also almost the same, zealous and jealous. Kanos, b'kanoi es kinosi. What's kinah? Kinah is jealousy. Now, at first glance, I think we would all agree that there doesn't seem to be any connection whatsoever between being jealous and being zealous. But there must be a connection, because if they're the same letters, as we know, there's no coincidence. In Lashon HaKodesh, a word has the same root as another word, and it must, in fact, be one common denominator between them both. So I looked around, and I found something very interesting. The famous Sefer, the Sefer of Musa, the Pele Yoyetz. The Pele Yoyetz has a piece in which he talks about kinah, and he says as follows: kinah hi midah ra'a ma'arid. The Pele Yoyetz says that kinah is a terrible, terrible midah. If somebody is jealous, he will never be a happy person. Kol yomov, all of his life, he will be disgruntled. And you'll forever feel hard done by. He has no friends. Nobody likes to be friendly with a jealous person who can never be happy for you. And he says the problem with the person who's jealous is basically he doesn't have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if you only have rock solid faith, then you'd realize that what my friend has belongs to my friend. It's nothing to do with you. It's also funny being jealous. Whatever I need, I need. Whatever I don't, I don't. But if I need it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure I get it. So really, the shayresh, the problem with a person of jealousy, is the lack of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as the Pele Yoyetz, on occasion it's good to be jealous. Like Chazal say, kinas seferim. If you're jealous of somebody else's ruchnias, that's good. If I see somebody who's learning better than me, is a bigger Talmud Chacham, and that stimulates me to go and learn better, then of course that's a wonderful thing. Says the Pele Yoyetz, and he says, v'yesh oiv min kinah. There's another kinah which is also good. What can that possibly be? And guess what he says? L'kanois kinas Hashem tzrokois. Like Mailas Pinchas kanoi ben kanoi. Now one second. He's made a jump from, what was he talking about at the beginning? Being jealous. And he says, there's one form of kinah which is very positive, and that what's that? Kanos. It happens to have the same letters, but what's one got to do with the other? So what do I see in the Pele Yoyetz? I see quite clearly that kinah and kanos apparently has the same shayush. If it was two unrelated midos, then you cannot possibly say that kinah is a very bad midah, but kanos, that's good. There's no connection. How can you say that's a form of kinah which is positive? It's nothing to do with kinah. So apparently, it has everything to do with kinah. So this, Moirad Rabbeisai, is the yesod that I'd like to share with you tonight. What is it that makes a kanoi? And what is it that makes somebody a makane, jealous person? What is jealousness? What is zealousness? What is kanos and what is kinah? And we'll see they absolutely are one yesod, just two opposite sides of the same coin. And that is, somebody who's jealous, what is his outlook on life? Shali, shali, v'sholcho, shali. Whatever is mine is mine, whatever is yours is in fact also mine. The jealous person has the outlook, the distorted hashkafa, that everything is mine. Whatever I have is obviously mine, but whatever you have, also, I'm the one who deserves it. As far as I'm concerned, nobody else deserves anything, because nobody else exists. I am the center of the universe and everything belongs to me. Kino, what's the shayush of the word kino? Kinyan. Everything is konui to me. Everything is acquired to me. I own everything. Everything is coming my way. That's why kino, from the word kinyan, koine, to acquire. The person who's jealous thinks that everything is konui, is acquired to him. I deserve everything. Do you know, somebody once came to Chazon Ish, and he said to him in Yiddish, he said, "Es kumt mir a mazel tov. Magia li mazel tov." Chazon Ish says, "Es kumt dir garnished. Magia lecha klum. I get a mazel tov." He says, "You get nothing. You don't deserve anything." But that's the outlook of somebody who essentially thinks that everything comes my way. "Es kumt mir a mazel tov. Kuk me, magiyali." What do you mean magiyali? You don't deserve anything. Everything is a bracha and a chesed of a kodesh baruch hu. But kino from Lashon Kinyan means it all is konui to me. Now let's turn that coin around and see the opposite side. What is kanos? Kanos is everything is konui to a kodesh baruch hu. A kodesh baruch hu is the boss. Morabu Masecho Hashem, what do we say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osvos Molo Ha'oret Kinyonecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true Kohen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything. Everything is konui to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when Klal Yisrael, for example, at the time of the Chet Ha'Eger, they serve Avodah Zarah. What is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is taking away HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion. So who stands up? The Kanoi. The Kanoi stands up and says, "Let's now restore everything back to its rightful force." And that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because everything is konui to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who has to stand up there? Not just a tzaddik or a chacham, it has to be a kanoi. Somebody who realizes that you cannot take away HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authority or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion. So we now see, Meir Abba Yisrael, why kino and kanos are in fact the same middle. Just two opposite sides of the same coin. Kino and kanos, they have the same letters. It's not a play on words. It's both Miloshen Kinyan. The only question is, who to? The one who's jealous thinks that the Kinyan is to himself. Everything is konui to him. And the Kanoi thinks everything is konui to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's the same Yisrael. So Pinchas is a Kanoi ben Kanoi. Who does he emanate from? Shevet Levi, do you know what the Medrash says? When Levi was born, Leah decided to call him Levi. Why? What does it say in Parshas Vayetzeh say? Vatomer ata hapam yilove ishi. Yilove literally means to accompany. Yilove from the word Levi. Says the Medrash, do you know what that means, accompany? Who's accompanying who? Levi is the tribe she'osid lelavois es habomim la'aviyem shebashamayim. They accompany, they forge this merger between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are the ones who bring everything back to its rightful source. So I think now the picture is complete. This is the very nature of Shevet Levi right from its inception. From the day that Levi was born, Levi, they accompany, they bring together that company of Klal Yisrael, La'aviyem Shebashamayim, because everything is konui to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who are their descendants? Shevet Levi, Pinchas, Eliyahu, Kanoim. Kanoi ben Kanoi. And of course we understand therefore, that's why, of course, by definition, a kanoi has to act as Shem Shemayim. Because that's the whole nature of kanos. The nature of kanos is everything is acquired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm here to restore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory, not my own prestige. And that's why by definition, a kanoi has to act the Shem Shemayim. So we see therefore that we do understand why kino and kanos really are the same middle. Everything has one address. It's all acquired to one address. But what is that address? So the one who's jealous thinks all traffic has to be steered in my direction. Everything is me, me, me. And the kanoi says, you're right. All traffic has to be steered in one direction. But it's all about Abishorah, not about me. Now, let's just add the following. And this, with this we'll close. When Moshe Rabbeinu is giving brachas to Klal Yisrael, at the end of the Torah, in Parashas Tzeis HaBracha, Rashi says, on the Pasuk Baruch Hashem Cheloi, that the Chashmonoim were descendants of Levi, and they were the ones to do battle with the Yevonim. They were the ones who fought against the Greeks. And the Medrash spells it out. Levi keneged Yochad. Levi keneged Yochad. Now, why is it that the nemesis, the arch enemy of Yochad, is Levi? And we're going to see, I think, a remarkable thing that will emerge in light of the way we've just explained. What is the shayrish of the Hashkafa of Yochad? Yochad, we know, had tremendous chokhmah. Chokhmas Yochad. Says the Ramban al Torah, Yovel, founded by Aristotle, refused to believe that there could be possibly any existence to that which the human mind cannot perceive. This is the outlook, the Hashkafa of Yovel. If I cannot perceive it, if I cannot fathom it, then it doesn't exist. This is how Yovel, this is their outlook on life. The Maral says that Yovel had a huge, huge problem with Klal Yisrael. Why did they have a problem with Klal Yisrael? Because Yovel claimed that they are the nation of Chochmah. So who poses the greatest threat against them? Klal Yisrael. They are the nation of Chochmah. But not only that, it's a Chochmah which is limitless and infinite, and that the Yevonim cannot perceive or fathom. So they therefore, by definition, claim that it can't exist. But here you have the nation that are claiming that they're the nation of Chochmah. Says the Maharal that the problem with Yevon is that they were jealous. Ein giboy miskanei elo begiboy shemakamoisai. Who is the mighty person jealous of? Somebody who else is mighty. Problem is, he's more mighty. Yovel considered themselves the nation of Chochmah. They couldn't possibly tolerate that there was another nation, Klal Yisrael, who were claiming that in fact they are the nation of Chochmah. And their Chochmah is in fact fathomless. So it can't exist. But if it can't exist, then that bothers Yovel to the core. So why are they claiming to be the nation of Chochmah? So we see from over here that the shayrish of the middle of Yovel is what? Is kinah. They're jealous of Klal Yisrael. And why are they jealous of Klal Yisrael? It's all a shikasa. Because Yovel is all about me. What did Yovel celebrate? The goof. The physical me, it's all about me, it's all comely to me. And if I can't understand it, it means there's something outside of me, then it doesn't exist. Because it's all about me. That's kinah. We said, what is kinah all about? All about me. Shali, shali, shalcha, shali, it's all comely to me. See, if that's understand, if that's the case, then we understand so well. So who's going to be the shevet that are manaseach over Yovel? Who is the obvious enemy? It's got to be Shevet Levi, because Levi claimed the exact opposite. Everything is coming to us. No. We're the Kanoim. Everything is coming to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, if he's going to pit any nation against Yavon, any tribe, is going to have to be Levi. The way that we defeat Yavon and their outlook on life is by Levi's approach. You're right, everything is indeed connery to one address. But which address? Yavon thinks it's all about the physical human being. Anything outside of that doesn't exist. Has no metzias or kilum bo'ilon. The Levi'im claim the exact opposite. What are we? We're nothing. Everything is connery to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the very essence of Shevet Levi. So I think therefore it explains and we understand now not just the prerequisite to Kanos, which is Hashem Shemayim, but the actual nature of Kanos. The nature of Kanos is the person who feels that my job is to restore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion, to make sure that everything is konui, acquired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kanoim Miloshen Kinyan. The problem is the person who's jealous also believes that kanoi kino miloshen kinyan, but he's just got it in the wrong direction. He thinks everything's got to be directed to him. And now I think that's what the Pele Yoyet really means. The Pele Yoyet says that essentially kino is a terrible middle. But there's one form of kino which is very positive, and what's that? Kanos. So he says, other than having the same letters, what's kino got to do with kanos? And the answer is, it has everything to do with kanos. Because the person who has the middle of kinor has a distorted outlook on which direction things must be konui to. Says the Palayoyet, there is one very positive attribute to the middle of kinor, and that is kanos, as the same church. Everything is konui to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Pinchas comes along and he is the worthy and rightful descendant of Shevet Levi and Levi himself. That's the whole middle of Shevet Levi. They are the Kanoim. They are the Kanoim. They are the ones who restore and make sure that everything is connui to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the closing line I think should really be, when in our day and age we do hear this word Kanoim thrown about quite often, so we really have to ask ourselves, or maybe the Kanoim need to ask themselves, this question. Are we indeed acting for the sole purpose of ensuring that everything is Kanoim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If we are, then Kanoim Poigim Boiz, Rizim, Meshubochim, Ksherim, it's a wonderful thing. But if not, then it could be Ritzich, it could be murder. And there's only one person on planet Earth who can answer that question, and that's the Kanoim himself. Only he knows why he's truly acting. Does he have an ulterior motive in mind? Does he have his own prestige and honor and glory at stake? Or are his intentions and motives completely pure? Is he really thinking to himself, how can I ensure that everything is coming to Ribbono Shel Olam? How can I ensure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion over the world is absolutely complete? If those are intentions of the Kanoi, then he's a true Kanoi. Pinchas was a true Kanoi. Kanoi es kinosi, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He seeks my vengeance. He truly is interested in restoring the dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, he deserves the schar. He became a Kohen forever and ever.